Hi, I'm Allison.
And I'm Larissa. We're two working moms
and real-life friends
on the journey to improving our family's health.
We're digging through the facts and fads around living a cleaner, greener lifestyle.
With plenty of cocktails.
Whether you've taken the plunge like Larissa
or just a little crunchy curious like Allison, this podcast's for you.
Welcome to the Crunchy Cocktail Hour.
Hey guys, this is Larissa, and as always, I'm here with the lovely Allison. Hey Allison.
Hi everyone.
So today we're going to be talking about holiday traditions.
Yeah, this is one I'm pretty excited about. You know, I think a lot of people have relatively similar traditions, but this is how to make traditions, how you can keep traditions, and how to make them healthy. But this is kind of my interpretation of healthy.
Yeah.
And this is what we're doing as part of the Healthy Heart, Healthy Mind series. So it's not necessarily the healthy things that you put into your body or on your body the way that a lot of our other topics are, but this is things that are good for your heart or, you know, good for your well-being.
So, yeah, healthy mind.
Healthy mind. So that's what we're going to be talking through today. And as always, we're kicking it off with a cocktail.
Yes. What is this cranberry filled concoction?
So this is just a basic holiday sangria. It's sangria is typically just red wine or white wine mixed with some kind of spirit and lots of fruit and fruit juices. So a holiday sangria.
Cheers.
Cheers. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Before we officially dive in, Allison and I are so excited to partner with Alively today, a self-care subscription box, especially for moms who want to thrive. So each month, you'll get a box full of surprises. So everything from healthy snacks, bath and body products, inspiring and empowering books, and sometimes even wellness gadgets, all relevant to health and motherhood. You'll also have access to an exclusive Facebook community, not only full of moms just like you, but also experts on energy, sleep, spirituality, hormones, cravings, everything you can think of. The Alively box officially launches today, and Allison and I are so pumped to get our first box. As a mom, a lot of my days revolve around others, but getting this box is all about me. And I'm not sharing my snacks. Plus, who doesn't love getting packages in the mail? Give yourself or the special mom in your life permission to thrive and join this movement with us. Head over to alivelybox.com, alivelybox.com, and use code CRUNCHY at checkout to get 10% off your first box.
All right. So first I want to talk about we celebrate different holidays.
We do.
So I thought maybe we'd just kick it off with sort of what we celebrate and what our current traditions are. So yeah. You want to kick us off?
Yeah. What don't I celebrate?
Celebrate it.
So we are, and I think we've talked about this before, I have an interfaith household. So my husband comes from a Catholic family. I come from a Jewish family. And we want to give our kids a little bit of everything. And then on top of it, I am from Russia, and so there's the holiday traditions that I grew up with being from there. So we actually celebrate Hanukkah, we celebrate Christmas, and we celebrate the New Year's. The New Year's is huge. So let me kind of start at the top. So Hanukkah, I'm sure most people are aware, it kind of moves around on the calendar every year. This year, it's about mid-December.
December 12th. I might have looked it up.
There you go. lasts for 8 days. You know, we try to do kind of the basic stuff with the kids. We light candles every night. And we've been doing that with them since as far as I can remember. And actually talking to the kids about it this year, they remember lighting candles from last year.
Oh, nice.
And they're four this year. So.
And do you like let them light each
day? We do, like
day?
Very carefully. Because we use real candles, so very, very carefully. But we make that part of the tradition. And then last year, I incorporated something new in anticipation of Hanukkah. So everybody knows Elf on the Shelf, and I'm sure we'll touch on it in the episode. But I found this idea about something called kindness elves. And so the kindness elves, I think everyone takes just like anyone who does that takes a spin on how they do it. But what I do is the kindness elves come to our house the 8 days before Hanukkah,
mm-hmm.
and my kindness elves legitimately are a little wintry looking guy and girl that I found in the dollar store holiday bin at Target.
How cute.
I'll have to post a picture of them, but we've named them Penny and Charlie. And what they do is I put them in a different place every night, kind of like the Elf on the Shelf, like moves around.
Okay.
And Penny and Charlie leave a note for the kids every day. And it's all centered around what you can do that's kind for others leading up to Hanukkah. So
for example, last year it was a little bit more simple, but it'll be like things like, today let's bake cookies for our grandparents, or let's create a, let's do a card for our neighbors, or let's pick one toy that we can give to a, you know, a child that doesn't have a toy. Like, it's all centered around giving to others and being kind to others. And then every once in a while, they'll also, like, Penny and Charlie will leave them, like, a chocolate kiss each, you know, a little Hershey's kiss or something like that. So we'll definitely do that with them this year as well.
So I love that. Found that's that, really sweet.
Yeah, like, I'll be honest and say Elf on the Shelf, like, creeps me out. I don't like the idea of someone, like, behavior. Watching them mm-hmm. and, like, behavior, because I think especially with gifts, and maybe this is, you know, my own stuff, but I think you give gifts because you love someone. You don't give gifts because they're good or bad. And I know I'm totally blowing up Santa right now, but so that's one thing that we do. And then we do the normal Hanukkah things. Because we, Bill and I, are different religions and we celebrate different things, we actually never have to, like, it's very rare that Hanukkah and Christmas fall at the same time, so we don't have to share that time with family.
That's nice.
So the way we separate it for now until they can understand better and choose for themselves, we do all the Hanukkah focused stuff at home, and then we travel to where Bill's family lives about an hour away, and we do all the Christmas stuff with them. So we say, like, we celebrate Hanukkah, Pappy and Nana and Gigi, they celebrate Christmas, and we do Christmas with them.
Oh, I like that. And then they get the best of both worlds.
They get so many presents.
So that's perfect for them.
Yes. But the one really big thing I want to talk about is the New Year, because that is huge for Russians and something that I grew up with loving. So in Russia, New Year's is the biggest holiday, and we have a tree for the New Year.
Which you don't even put up until after Christmas.
I don't like to. No, because I like to make it clear it is a New Year's tree, and we don't decorate it with any, like, with any, you know, Christmassy colors or anything. We usually call it, like, our Penn State tree because it's mostly blue and white.
Nice.
It was until, like, before we came to the United States, I didn't know that, like, the tree was a Christmas thing.
That's so funny.
Because for us, it was a New Year's thing. It was so Christmas-like for the New Year in Russia. Grandpa Frost, who is Santa-like, and his daughter, Snegurochka.
I was going to say, what do you actually call him?
Ded Moroz.
Okay.
And Snegurochka, they come and they bring you gifts for the New Year.
Interesting.
So it is probably a mishmash of, like, Russian Orthodox Catholicism and I don't know, but I always grew up with it, and I didn't know any different, so we've kept that tradition as well. So we do Hanukkah, we do Christmas, and then when we get home from doing Christmas, we have New Year's.
Max and Melina are lucky.
They are loaded, which is all the more reason ahead of all that to do all the stuff that's, like, kind for others, because then it's kind of all this, like, gimme, gimme, so I want to make sure that they're, like, giving back in this, like, four-year-old way that they can give back.
Yeah. Well, and that's part of what I mean by healthy is, like, avoiding that gimme, gimme, or at least counterbalancing it.
Yeah.
You know, with the pleasure of giving, because that is one of the best parts about
the
holiday.
I love to give way more than I like to receive. And there's nothing like those little tiny faces all lit up because they got this, you know, cool new gift that they've been wanting for so long.
It is really exciting. It's the best part about being a parent, right?
Yes. So we do it all. What don't we do?
I love that. I think it's fun.
We just need to add Kwanzaa to the mix, and we've got all the holidays.
There's a couple more you can bring in there.
Okay, fair.
So I love that. So we, I'm going to give a quick caveat that if you have little ears listening, I'm going to be getting into my traditions.
Oh, no.
And I don't want to ruin any magic, any Christmas magic for anybody.
Okay, no, that's a good one.
So I'm saying if you have any little ears, maybe think about listening to this another time. So we celebrate Christmas, but, excuse me. We celebrate Christmas, but it's always been a more secular holiday for us. We're not I wasn't raised in a particularly religious household, so it was always something we celebrated. It was always something my family celebrated, but you know, it was never a big go to church holiday for us. So I celebrated it growing up. I always believed in Santa and everything. Mm-hmm. The funniest thing is I believed in Santa way too long.
Like how old? Like last year.
Like Claire told me
that he was like, you're just figuring it out now.
Like now that I have to be Santa. No, I was like, it was right before we moved to the States. So I was probably like 9 or 10, which maybe isn't that bad.
No, that doesn't seem that bad.
But all of my friends knew.
They knew.
Okay. And they were being paid not to tell me.
So you didn't find out from a friend?
No, I found out from my mom. So that was the worst part. So everybody else knew. I didn't know. And my mom was amazing. She hated, she would never lie to us. So if we'd say, is Santa real? She'd first say, do you believe Santa's real? And then we'd be like, of course. And she'd be like, well, that makes him real.
Oh, wow.
And that's how she would answer.
That is genius.
That is genius. So we were watching a movie and I looked over at her and I said, Mom, is Santa real? Because like in this movie, this kid stopped believing. And I was like, I mean, Santa's real, right? And she was like, do you really want to know? That should have been my tip off.
At that point, she was like, I can't believe she hasn't figured it out yet.
You're 6, you can drive, Allison. You should not be living in Santa. And I cried for days. I was so devastated. So, but at the same time, it was still happy. So it was shortly after that we started going to the Caribbean for the holidays. And like we had like all of this
you're doing my favorite Thanksgiving tradition for Christmas.
That's not my life. Like I do not like going away for Christmas. Yeah. So once I was married, and I married a man that is as obsessed with Christmas as I am, we go gangbusters. There's like Christmas pillows, Christmas drinks that we drink, and we decorate our house from like top to bottom. If I could put a different tree in every room, I would.
And you're doing all of this. When do you find time to do this?
Oh, I make time. This is my favorite time of the year. And it is a month long.
I decorate nothing for any holiday because you put it up, you take it down. Oh. I feel like if I put it up, I'd never take it down. It would be April.
Okay, that's happened to me.
And like...
But no, I love it so much. And I love my house around Christmas. I love the feel of it. I love being...
There's something
the
very warm about the holidays.
So warm.
People get nicer. And
people get nicer.
Things
like,
are cozy.
It's perfect. And I'm like such a sucker for Christmas. So... When we started going to the Caribbean when I was younger, and I remember my mom being like, this is perfect. We should do this every year. And I was like, literally never again if I'm allowed to choose.
Oh, my gosh. So Bill and I got married in the middle of December, and we're coming up on our 9-year anniversary. So we were in Jamaica for our anniversary, and because it was December, they had, like, twinkling lights up and stuff for the holidays. And one of the nights they had what they call in Jamaica like a mental band, which is like just like the types of instruments they use and stuff. But they were so very Jamaican and trying to sing Christmas carols. And I distinctly remember them singing the 12 Days of Christmas with just all new things. And the one I distinctly remember was 12 Venison. They were also Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was Randolph.
Oh no.
It was the best.
That would
it was
be amazing.
So funny.
It's that kind of stuff
it was
that makes
so funny.
For the best tradition.
It was so good.
So now that we have Claire, of course we get to like really dig those traditions in deep.
Yeah, because she's gonna remember all of it at one.
I'd stop it, but we can start now. And so like we have specific things that Kyle and I do every year.
Okay.
So we open Christmas pajamas on New Year's, and I will tell a funny story about that in a moment. And then we like read the Polar Express before bed, mm-hmm. and we wake up and we have our traditional Christmas breakfast, and you know, all these things. I'm just so excited for her experience. And she was born last year, but she was a month old. It was a little different.
Tiny baby.
So quick on the Christmas pajamas, and I'm saying it intentionally like that. So I was once in a meeting, and we do these this thing in the beginning of meetings where you tell you do like a little game or something where it's like an
icebreaker.
Mm-hmm. And the icebreaker was talk about your favorite holiday tradition because we're heading into the holidays, and I said that my favorite holiday tradition was Christmas PJs and doing that on New Year's, and everybody in the room looked at me just slack jawed in absolute disbelief, and I couldn't figure out what they were saying. And then somebody in the room finally figured out, and they were like, you said PJs. I don't know if you're catching my drift, but we do not have a super kinky Christmas Eve tradition.
Oh, my God. That is a horrifying work story.
It's my favorite work story because the person who said it it was just in stitches. They thought it was hilarious.
Thank goodness we work for a pretty casual kind of company where everyone found that funny, right?
And not horrified.
Not horrified.
Yeah, so generally those are my traditions. I'm like a big Christmas person.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm constantly trying to think of, I was just having a conversation with some girlfriends about, like, what new traditions are you doing this year? Because, you know, as the kids are getting older, you can kind of add more things that they can participate in and be a part of. And I spent, you know, like my first 8 years of life, you know, in another country and then immigrating to this country. And so there are traditions lost in that.
Yes.
And so I love the idea of like giving them that consistent type of stuff that they can expect, that they can hand down to their kids. And so I'm always kind of on the hunt for what little thing can I do with them that I can do every year.
Do they know the full story behind both Hanukkah and Christmas?
No. So I think I'm actually on the hunt for great Hanukkah books right now. We were reading them Hanukkah books last year, but they were just more about like lighting the candles and opening gifts and, you know, making potato latkes, spinning the dreidel, but not so much about why we celebrate the holiday. Yeah. So now I think they will digest it this year. And so I'm like on the hunt for books that are at that level.
Nice. And I'm sure there's some out there. Maybe we can link to
it's
some.
It's tough to find them.
Is it?
It's tough to find them. It's tough to find Hanukkah anything. It's tough to find Hanukkah clothes. Like, we were at Target the other day and there's like massive Christmas section and Hanukkah end cap.
Yeah.
So it's always a little bit of a challenge. And quite frankly, Hanukkah on the scale of Jewish traditions, like, you know, for folks that might not know, you know, Jewish holidays are almost kind of laddered on a scale of importance. And this is all the way at the bottom. Hanukkah is all the way at the bottom. And the reason it's big and it's blown up is because it's competing with Christmas. You know, it's hard to go into the store and to see that massive Christmas section. Of course the kids flock to that. And it's true, I'm giving them both holidays. But I want them to be equal.
Yeah.
And that making them equal is tough.
So what is the sort of most, sounds so bad, but what is the most important sort of Jewish holiday?
That would be Yom Kippur. The Day of Atonement, which comes after the Jewish New Year, where you're kind of thinking about what you'd like to do different that year. That's when we fast for 24 hours, sundown to sundown. You know, that's the most important one. So for those of you who might not know, Hanukkah is not the biggest deal, but
it's so interesting. I didn't know that.
It's competing with Christmas.
Yeah, it's not like you have like a Yom Kippur tree.
No, we do not.
That might be weird.
That might be weird and inappropriate.
So the next sort of piece I want to talk about is like creating traditions. Mm-hmm. So I'm at that family beginning stage. So Kyle and I have been married for 4 years, right? 4 years. And now we have Claire. So of course, we went through the whole getting married and switching from your family of origin traditions to your marital traditions.
Sure.
And that's hard. Like marrying families and having all of those competing traditions is hard. And now we're going through it. Not through it, but, you know, it's happening again as we're defining how we want to experience our family traditions.
Yeah, it's not just about you and kind of what you guys want to do and just what you guys want to do. And now it's incorporating things that are at the right level for a baby your age. Like, not your age, but a baby that is your... I can't say it.
A baby that is Claire's age.
Yes.
You got it. So I think from your perspective, what you were saying is that it was a little bit easier, if you will, because your families celebrate different holidays.
Yeah.
So there was that natural divide, right?
Yes. Yeah, for sure. There is a natural divide. I know that other interfaith families kind of, you know, there's different approaches to take in terms of, you know, do you do all the holidays? Like, for me, I think that they need to be separated in some way for them to be able to digest, like, what does this one mean and what does that one mean? And then when they grow up, they can figure out what thing they gravitate to. So it does. It makes for a – it's like the one of the best things about being interfaith is – you get to spend that focused time with that family.
That is nice.
And similar to what we talked about a few weeks ago with Thanksgiving and like going to three Thanksgivings and all that kind of stuff, you can just kind of like hunker down and focus and be present and have nowhere to be except with who you're with right in that moment.
I love that.
So it's actually one of the best things about being in an interfaith family.
Do you guys do any of the holidays just the four of you?
No.
No, it's always
no. Family? Yeah, I can't think of any that we. I mean, there are holidays that are that we just don't celebrate at all. Like we don't do anything for Easter or things like that because, again, you know, I consider myself a more spiritual person. Bill doesn't necessarily actively practice Catholicism. And so he's really into the holidays that have a lot of tradition, Christmas mm-hmm. being the biggest one. But yeah, there's no holidays that I can think of where we just kind of like hunker down in at our house.
Yeah.
I kind of want to be surrounded by family. Like, I don't know. It's so enjoyable.
I totally hear that. So what we do, because we, of course we share Christmas with both sides of our families, what we'll do is we separate it into kind of three parts. There's the Christmas Eve, Christmas morning, and then Christmas dinner.
Okay.
And what we do, and I think I've mentioned this on a previous episode, but my brother splits custody with Zoe,
right.
His daughter. And so what we'll do is follow the lead of when they have her.
Okay.
So he'll either have her for Christmas Eve and Christmas morning or Christmas Day, so okay. like that dinner. So what we'll do is if he has her for Christmas Eve, we'll spend Christmas Eve with my family mm-hmm. And then Christmas Day with Kyle's family. But Christmas morning is always us.
Oh,
and even
nice.
When we were first married, it was something that we just decided was important to us, waking up, having our breakfast, just the two of us, doing our gifts as a family underneath the tree. And it's the one tradition that I think is a little bit tough to swallow for folks
yeah,
because
sure.
you want to see kids open those gifts. And it means that you have to leave wherever you are on Christmas Eve to make sure you're home. But it's for the remainder of time that I can impact it, I will be in my house under my tree for Christmas yeah. morning with just my nuclear family.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, while you were saying that, is, you know, do you think you can keep that up always? And I'm sure that for other family members, and it's not because you don't want to be with family.
No.
It's just because you want to have that thing that's just your
own.
It's
just ours. And it always does feel a little sacred, like a little bit
yeah.
like a ritual because we so look forward to it. It's so special to spend that time just so focused and so together. And we still spend a dinner with both sides of the family. And
yeah.
That has its own very special importance. But that time is just so awesome.
Yeah. So, okay. So talking about gifts and traditions and, you know, you mentioned you're not necessarily coming at it from a religious perspective. What will you do with Claire as far as, you know, will you be doing gifts from Santa as well as gifts from you and Kyle? How will
good
you
question.
Incorporate that in? Or
That's
have you not
really
thought about it
question.
Yet?
I haven't really thought about it. So I know I have like a general gifting philosophy that I plan on following for any gifting holiday, birthdays, Christmas, etc., which is something you want, something you need, and something to read.
Mm-hmm.
And because I don't want it to be this big holiday where that's the focus. I want it to be special, and I'll probably do a stocking from Santa. I mean,
you're missing the one W, which is something to wear. That's usually
well,
the
she
wear,
she'll
want.
Get her Christmas
okay
pajamas.
Okay.
So on Christmas Eve, we always open our Christmas pajamas, and that's from growing up. My grandma would always give them to us.
I love that.
And so you open
that could
your,
be one I could do with the kids.
You should, because it's nice, because then you put them on and
yeah.
you snuggle in, you read a book, and then you wake up and you're in your jammies. It's just really special.
Huh. Maybe that's even something I could do for the new year.
That's a good idea.
Okay.
There you go. New tradition.
Done.
For you. So what I'll probably do is Santa will do the stocking, and probably gifts will be from Kyle and I because there won't be many.
Do you think that this year, I mean, she's just turned one. Do you think this year you will, I don't know, show her pictures of Santa, read Christmas books?
Read like Christmas books for sure.
Okay.
Because Polar Express is one that even
yep.
Kyle and I lied in before we had kids.
I mean, I'll be honest. When I see you talking about Christmas right now, you are so lit up. And you are
it.
So excited. Like, this is as much a thing for you as it will be for her. And now
yes.
it's this magical thing that you love that you're going to share with her.
I'm
sweet.
so excited to see her love Christmas as much as we do. But I don't know, sharing Santa, that's an interesting point, because my mom's philosophy was always that she didn't want to lie to us. And I think there's a way to allow them to embrace the magic on her own, mm-hmm. or allow kids to embrace the magic on their own. If anybody has advice on this, I think I would welcome that. Like, how you introduce Santa without it being like...
I mean, it'll be in books, but I guess then it's, do you try to connect it, right? Santa gave you what's in this stocking. And, you know, she's not going to retain it this year, but I guess it's a question for longer term. And, you know, when you were talking about, you know, you believing in Santa until last year, it made me think of, so my neighbors are actually interfaith as well, so they have a little bit of both, and they kind of do both in their house. And one thing they told me that I thought was great, they have three kids, and the way that they told us that they handled kind of each of their kids aging out of Santa while the others were still believing, is they kind of let the older kid in on the secret, and they said, you know, this is kind of like the magic of it all, and I'm Santa, and now you can help me be Santa. And so they would continue,
they feel a part of
they
it.
Were a part of it, so it was almost like a little bit less of a blow, and then they
could
almost
help create the magic.
Yeah, they were, it's almost special. Like, I think there's an excitement to like still giving that to your siblings, and I thought that was such an amazing idea.
I love that. Yeah. I love that, because then it almost feels like they've achieved something.
Yeah, like,
they're mature enough for something rather than it feeling like,
just a letdown. You are such a big kid now that I'm going to tell you the secret and you get to help me with it, which all kids love. And so I'm sure that some of you listening are in that scenario where you've got some kids aging out of that idea and others who are not. So I just think it's a great way to handle it.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. So I think the last piece I want to talk about, so I mentioned in the beginning, healthy to me is so, this is about the healthy heart, the healthy mind.
Yeah.
This is about those types of things. And I think when it comes to holidays, especially if you are interfaith or a little bit more secular in your beliefs, it's not necessarily going to church. There's not necessarily this big religious component to the holiday, so it can just sometimes feel like you wake up and you get a bunch of gifts. So how do you prevent the holiday from feeling that way? You keep the focus on the things that are important, which, you know, for me, and I'm sure for you, for your holiday, is the family, the tradition, the community, giving back, just the absolute pleasure of giving to other people, without, you know, in a tradition way that would make it special for kids.
Yeah, and I think this is where you can also add in, you know, we talked about this a little bit with Thanksgiving as well. Like I know when we go to see Bill's family from Christmas, like they, you know, they bake cookies together and they will help decorate the tree, like, or like add some ornaments that are not on the tree yet. Like there's those things that are all about doing it together.
Yes.
And I think it, you know, that's like after the presents have been opened. It's like already Christmas Day and all the presents are out of the way. So it's just more about, why is this day special now? Well, it's special because we're all together. We're all doing something together. Nobody has to be at work or to be doing anything except focusing that time on the ones we love. Yeah.
That's what I love about the holiday.
Yeah. And just, I don't know, that extended time off is really nice for those of you.
Oh, I mean, you can't beat that.
No, well, and I know that not everybody gets to enjoy that, and I'm always, like, plagued by the amount of stores that are still open, and somebody is working that time, and so I know that not everybody gets that. But, you know, just, yeah, and then the new year comes, and there's just, like, nothing for a while, and it's a little bit sad.
That's true, but then Valentine's Day comes along.
Is that not a holiday? I mean, it's a Hallmark holiday.
But it doesn't have to be.
Maybe we'll have to do a Valentine's Day episode.
Okay, because I have some fun things you can do with the kids.
Okay.
So a couple of things that we can all kind of incorporate it into our traditions. And as I was thinking through what I wanted to start doing with Claire, sure. This is just like some of my research here. So let me know if you've done any of them, or if you have, like anybody listening, if you have any that you might want to add, please send them my way. I need advice. So first one is advent calendars. And so I think a lot of people do advent calendars. There's like the little chocolate ones yep. that you can get. By the way, I did find an allergy-friendly chocolate advent calendar.
Stop. You have to link that for people. I will link it
for sure. But advent calendars are no longer just for kids. So I've seen a couple, but you can do wine advent calendars. So like if you have a wine shelf, mm-hmm. all you need to do is get little tags with numbers on them. And then you put the tag. So if you
wait, have a, Allison, what is a wine shelf?
You don't have, like a wine rack?
I'm not fancy. Oh, as a wine yeah, rack. Yeah,
so like if you have a wine rack that can hold 12
bottles.
Okay,
I've never heard of it as like a wine shelf. I thought it was like a special shelf to display your wine.
Well, you can do that too.
All right, fine.
But a wine rack.
Okay.
And if you can hold 12 bottles or 24 bottles or what have you, yeah. you can just put tags on them. And then every day you count down by enjoying that
Tell
bottle
me
of
if
wine.
You guys have a wine shelf / rack that holds 25 bottles of wine. Allison's raising her hand. Noted.
And it's full, so... There you
and
go,
by the way, it. Those advent calendars are not just for wine because they have gin, yes. vodka, bourbon, whatever you can think of. I mean, they're a pretty penny. But
you can do ones. So there's a lot of ones that you can stuff it with little gifts and stuff.
Okay.
So what you could always do is alternate booze and chocolate. So like, oh. you know, day one, you have a little shot of gin you can make into a cocktail. The next day you can have a chocolate. Next day, you could, like, make a vodka cocktail. You need some cocktail ideas.
Thought this was a healthy show.
Hey, we say that cocktails, it's all about balance.
It's true.
Anyway, I love advent calendars. I love the idea of sort of counting down and being able to look forward to things. For me, planning a vacation, a holiday, is everything yeah. about the anticipation. And yeah. advent calendars just builds to that.
So this is my homemade crunchy version of this stuff. Whenever we count down to stuff, I will... get a whole bunch of construction paper mm-hmm. and I will link a bunch of rings together and then the kids get to cut a ring off. So we did That's that cute. Like for Disney or whatever yeah. When we were counting down. And then sometimes we would forget and then we'd cut off like three at a time. So it made no sense at all to them.
They didn't understand.
They were just like every time they wouldn't know if we were cutting one or seven. So they would be like, can I cut more?
I'd be like, you're like point lost.
Whatever.
Just cut them off. It's still we're still not going in. So another one that I like to do, and this is kind of silly, but I hold a lot of sentiment in ornaments. Mm-hmm. So I have ornaments that I made as a kid. I have ornaments that my mom actually gave me ornaments every year growing up. So my tree is just filled with memories. And Aww. I think one of the best ways that you can do that is anytime you travel, and even if it's somewhere silly, like on a business trip or something, yeah. and you're away from your kids, grab an ornament. If you're traveling, we did it on our honeymoon. We went to Hawaii and we got it's beautiful glass ornament from there. But then every time you're looking at your tree and it can be tedious to put the ornaments up and down. There's a little bit of nostalgia that goes into it and you can enjoy the process in my experience.
Won't you at some
more.
Point get like, if every time you go on a trip you do that, won't your tree just become... Bull.
How often are you traveling?
So much.
It definitely could be, but I think that's when you have to call a little bit. And
like, which memories don't I like? Smash that ornament.
But if you're going the same place over and over again, like you go to okay. Jamaica every year, okay. you don't necessarily need to get a Jamaican ornament
every time,
year.
Same ornament.
Your tree's kind of weird looking.
My tree is blue and white in Jamaica flag colors.
I'm not going to say I don't think it would look good. I just think you're weird.
It's true. So we actually do for our New Year's tree, I will get a new ornament every year. And I try to do personalized ones. So I kind of in the year, and I kind of like seeing, you know, at one point where it was, you know, me and Bill and our dog Martini, to the point where it became me and Bill and Martini and Maximilina.
Yeah, I love how you went from a family of two to a family of four really so fast. Many.
But, you know, our tree is pretty, you know, it's pretty secular, right? So finding those non-Christmassy ornaments is tough every year. So if you guys know of any great sites, please let me know, because I think I'm late to the game and need to get one. Stat.
So I'm not sure I know what you mean by, like, an ornament that has your family names on it. So what does that look like?
I think last year's ornament looked like a little coat hanger, and it had little ceramic mittens hanging off of it, and each of the mittens have our name on it.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
Where did you find them?
I don't know, but it's a lot of searching to find things like that that's wintery, but not Christmassy.
Interesting.
It's tough finding that type of stuff.
I bet.
Yeah, so...
Because it's an ornament.
Exactly.
I get why it's difficult.
And nowhere except in the Russian community is a New Year's tree a New Year's tree. Yeah. It's a Christmas tree for everyone else. So, but I still hunt. I hunt pretty hard, and I always find something. But yeah, I like all our names on it, and I like somewhere for the year to be written in. And sometimes I've just written it in.
Yeah. That sounds so cute.
Yeah.
I might have to pick that one up now that we've grown. So another one is kind of similar to your kindness elves,
mm-hmm.
but like similar to the 12 days of Christmas, it's the 12 acts of holiday service. And it's just sort of each day finding a little way that your kids can do some good. I think you were mentioning like donate a toy or maybe write Christmas cards to the local senior home or something, just something small that they can do that they can feel proud of.
Yeah.
And so is it 12 days, is it 8 days that you do for mm-hmm. the kindness elves? It's awesome. I just think it's a nice thing to do. So that's one I'm thinking about adopting. Another one. So I know New Year's is a huge holiday for you.
Absolutely.
It used to be for us because we would throw a big party every year. A little bit more challenging with kids because...
Totally.
I can't say that those parties were particularly kid-friendly. So this year I'm trying to figure out how we can... make New Year's traditions.
Yeah.
And so one thing I've seen is throughout the year, you just keep a jar on your, like, your island in your kitchen or somewhere in your house. And it's just as, like, family moments pop up and you think through things that you're grateful for, or little moments about your holiday or not even your holiday, your year, or, I don't know, your husband did something nice for you. You just write it down, put it in the jar, and then on Christmas Eve, before the end of the year, you just sit down and you read them and you remember things, and I'm sure there'd be some silly things in there where you can't even remember what it's from,
right?
But just like kind of a nice way to be grateful and to be mindful throughout the year of things that are
you want
to remember.
I have friends who've done that. I have a friend who also, like, her and her husband both write down memories in a journal. They just know where that journal is, and they randomly write things in there, and they will read them at the end of the year. And I'm so not disciplined enough. Like, I want to do something like that, but I'm not disciplined enough to remember, to take the time. And I would imagine it's like the equivalent of, like, you know, the Facebook on this day type of thing where you have a moment where you're like, I don't understand what that inside joke was about, but it seemed funny, or
we,
like, yeah. So
I feel like what would happen is we would sit down on New Year's and open it up, and like January we'd have like 17 notes and then nothing for the rest of the year.
Yeah, where you're like, I resolved to write down my memories.
Yeah.
And 3 weeks, that's what the resolution lasts.
We'll talk about our resolutions.
We should talk about that for sure.
Never anything I'm good at.
Yeah.
Well, one I know that we're going to do is having a toy bag that arrives with either your kindness elves or your elf on the shelf, whatever you believe in. And essentially, it's an empty bag. And they say, all right, we're preparing for Christmas. Not every kid is as fortunate as you. Why don't you go through your toys? You identify things you're no longer using or that are in good condition, of course, but things you're no longer using that you've outgrown as you prepare for what's Santa or you're getting for the year. And so it does two things. It teaches them to give to those that are less fortunate. It also keeps your house less
freaking crazy. Yeah, it teaches them not to be hoarders.
Because you get all these gifts at Christmas if you're getting a ton of gifts, and you just pile it onto the other crap that's in your basement.
Totally. No, you know what? That's a good idea, because I can definitely incorporate that with the kindness elves, because one of the ones that I'm going to be doing is to donate some toys.
Yeah.
So that could be definitely one that I add in, you know?
So do they arrive at a point?
The kindness elves? Yeah. I mean, they arrive... the 8 days before Hanukkah, yeah, and they kind of like introduce themselves to the kids.
So maybe they arrive with the bag, and then the last day before they leave, they take the bag with them.
I love it.
Because they can fill it throughout.
I really love that, actually.
I think that'd be fun.
Perfect.
And then, of course, I have the Festivus airing of grievances. Perfect. But maybe not a healthy tradition.
I mean, if you've got a good sense of humor.
If you do. Or if you have a lot of grievances.
I always have a lot of grievances.
Oh, God. This is going to be a dangerous New Year.
Maybe every time I come by, I will add a grievance to your memories bucket.
So we open it on New Year's.
Yeah. So every time I come over, I will write down something that's bothered me that week. And you could maybe think on that and maybe set some New Year's resolutions to not make me so angry next year.
Okay. Maybe I'll celebrate Yom Kippur so I can atone for it.
There you go.
Here, that's what I'll do. Well, this was fun. So, you know, I honestly just believe that the holidays, no matter what you celebrate, is just, yeah, an awesome time to spend with, yeah, family. I'm, as you can't tell, so excited for the holidays. But I think the best part of being a grown-up is figuring out what you want to do.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter what you grew up with or what your traditions were growing up, unless you want to keep those going. But otherwise, come up with your own. Come up with cool, yeah, ones. Yeah. And try and keep them things that help you focus on what really matters.
Yeah. It's hard to get lost during the holiday time, mm-hmm, of, you know, I want this and I want that, and wanting to give your kids everything and anything that they ask for, and trying to kind of level set back to what this time of year, no matter the holiday that you celebrate, what this time of year is really all about.
Yeah.
I love that.
I do too.
So I will tell you, we are clearly still both kind of in that place of gathering the tradition. So if you've got something that you do that you love, please share it with us, because I'm so open to hearing it. And I feel like we will still continue to be incorporating new things as our kids get older. I'm sure you'll do the same as Claire gets older, or finding things that work and don't work, or fall flat and don't fall flat.
Yep.
So definitely share your favorites with us. We'd love to hear it.
That'd be great. So I think we mentioned a couple of things throughout the episode. So go ahead and head over to crunchycocktailhour.com. We'll have all the show notes, all the links that we mentioned.
Definitely.
And that's where you can leave us your thoughts. Or, of course, you can go follow us on social media. We've got Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, all the things.
All the things. And regular email.
And regular email. As always, our cocktail is at my blog at silverwinedandwine.com. So this is a fun little...
Silverwinedandwine.com.
Did I say my blog wrong?
Silverwined.
See, it's a good sangria. Go check it out.
Have a great holiday, guys.
Happy holidays.
See you next Friday.